I can have our friend Dr. Carson Williams take that lower back fat I have and put it back on my legs to lower.
I thought you were going to say like a little bit in the pec and upper chest here.
So it's said that the fastest way to add an inch to your arms is to add an inch to your legs. Well, we put that to the test.
And it turned out to not really be true.
That surprisingly was a lie.
Yeah. Let's look at your DEXA scan. I do love ordering DEXA scans for various people. And you've done quite a few at this DEXA Fit location. There's also other locations you can get DEXA scans for body composition. But you got an A-, surprisingly. For context, don't pay attention to these scores. I think I saw some bodybuilder post their ridiculous DEXA scan and they got a C or a B+ or something like that. And then in the off season where it was much worse, they got an A+, I think.
Interesting.
Yeah. But you've obviously had a torn pec and you've been running a lot. So you'd think your DEXA scan is much worse. Most runners complain that they can't put any muscle on. So you're expecting to have little twig legs, I assume.
That was the hope because more slender legs are associated with better running economy. So I was thinking, well, I can't remember the last time I've trained calves, honestly. And I probably squatted barbell once a month. Like actually heavy working sets over the last 2 years, switched over to more belt squats and lowered the frequency of leg training. Mm-hmm. And I was not shocked to see that my legs had increased in size because I had to get new pants because they got larger. Mm. But it doesn't make sense.
So you're the opposite of Nick Norwitz. You do more running and then your legs just get bigger and bigger.
I have the gene where when you run, your legs get bigger.
You must.
I guess so.
Yeah. Different than me. If you look, your body fat percentage went down more than 2%. So you certainly leaned out. You lost essentially pure fat mass. And if you scroll down, you can see that your lean mass has gained by 1. So you've heard it here first from this influencer, James O'Hara. All you have to do is less squatting and a whole bunch of running and tear your pec and you'll gain muscle mass and lose fat.
Yep. Gain 1 pound of muscle in 2 years. Follow me for more training tips on Instagram.
Yeah. Well, thanks for joining us. Let us know comments below. But in all seriousness, there's your visceral fat, less than 1 pound.
It was great. Exactly the same. What are the odds of that?
Not even
1/100th of a pound different from where it was before the body composition change.
Do that one more time and I'll be impressed.
Yeah. I just thought that was odd. I was like, oh, the machine's probably just jammed or something. It gives everybody a 0.74.
What's that T score? Did that just go up? Impossible. You can only gain bone mass when you're a teenager.
That's right. I gained bone density. And if bones are money, then my interest is compounding.
Interestingly, also the opposite of Nick Norwitz. Doesn't he say he has the gene to where he loses bone density where he runs? Whereas you and I, when we run, we gain bone density.
Yeah. And even though in my legs, interestingly, the bone density is lower than average, which if you look into some of the studies that associate bone density with your ability to acquire muscle mass, that seems to not hold up in this N of one real world study where the muscles that I have the lowest bone density in got the most muscle gain.
Yeah. I would mention about my DEXA scan and how my leg bones just get more and more dense, but my leg muscles do not when I run. I'm more of what I consider a typical responder, but this is your interview DEXA scan podcast. So we'll continue and look at your lean mass. So left arm has 11.9 pounds and right arm has 10.7 pounds. Aren't you right-handed? What happened to that side?
Yeah, this is the part that's taken the longest to come back after the pec tear. So this DEXA was, probably right about a year after I was cleared to use like a 5 pound dumbbell on the right side to do presses. Mm-hmm. And the pec, I think, is close to indistinguishable from the other side in terms of the volume of muscle there. Mm-hmm. My back seems pretty balanced. The right shoulder, so the right delt, maybe a little bit smaller, but the arm is like strikingly much smaller. Mm-hmm. So bicep and tricep have still not quite recovered.
Have you tried holding your infant child with your right arm?
Exclusively. I do a few extra reps every set on the right side if I'm doing something bicep or tricep isolation, but it hasn't seemed to make a difference. Hmm. So imagine that I'll just take some more time. Or maybe there's a peptide out there for that.
Yeah. Have you tried any peptides? I know you took some for your pec rehab.
Yeah, I took the BPC and the TB500 as part of my pec tear. Mm-hmm. But I have not tried anything anabolic or catabolic peptide related compared to, or specifically for this arm. Although I have heard anecdotes of bodybuilders talking about how IGF-1 evened out their muscle imbalances.
Localized IGF-1 LR3 or mm-hmm. IGF-1?
Site injection.
Yeah, site injection. Bioidentical IGF-1, super short half-life.
Yeah, probably the LR3.
Or the MGF, the mechanogrowth factor, which is like IGF-1 fragment I've seen.
I don't even know if that's compounded. I know the IGF-1 LR3 is compounded.
Yeah. Anyways, if you look at the changes in lean mass of your legs. So one thing that you and I did have in common, because I think we do kind of have somewhat opposite body types. You have relatively...
I'm an apple shape. You're a pear shape.
I was going to say long torso versus relatively shorter femurs.
Yeah.
More of like you're slightly more of a natural squatter, CrossFitter. I'm more of a slightly natural runner. So of course we do the opposite thing in our current training. But your fat mass went way down when you ran a lot, and my fat mass in my legs went down, but my fat mass everywhere else did not change. So now I've seen two, so I'm convinced that I can state with authority, if you run, you'll have spot reduction of fat mass in your legs. Is that a safe statement?
Yeah, I mean, I think there is something to spot reduction. And maybe we talked about this briefly when we talked about your DEXA scan with the looking at, you're going to have a little bit of increased temperature, right, of the area you're exercising. And I think they've looked at this with maybe like certain ab routines and like, if you like squint at it, you could see a little bit of a difference. But it raises the question, like, if somebody wants to just tone their arms and they just did only arm bike for like 5 hours a week, all their cardio. I mean, you may see a little bit more fat mass, but it's going to be building the lean mass is what they're really looking for to give the muscle that shape.
Absolutely. But, which you did do. Lean mass, as you can see, did go up significantly.
Yeah, but I gained it all in my legs. I actually lost a little bit of my upper body, which would be expected. But I was happy to see that the lean mass in my trunk, actually the right side was a little bit better than the left.
That is very interesting. So your pec.
There's an extra pound of cadaver parts in there.
I don't think it's a pound. Cadaver skin and biosynthetic striker material.
That's right.
In there. Yeah. Anyways, we can keep on going down. That might be the end of the interesting parts of your DEXA. 22.4 FFMI. That's pretty solid. That continues to increase. FFMI, for those who don't know, is kind of known as the number where, depending on if you're male or female, if you're above a certain amount, you're very unlikely to be natural. As from a bodybuilder perspective, obviously you're not doing bodybuilder resistant style training. You're running, which is not what a bodybuilder would want to do. And your FFMI is still almost 23. But I think if you were over 26, they say you're a fake natty no matter what. Is that what it is?
Yeah, I think it's 25 is the cutoff, maybe 26, somewhere in there. But then I think your average recreational steroid user only achieves like a 23 or 24.
Yeah.
Not somebody trying to go pro and compete for an IFBB pro card, but you're, Jim Bro, who does your basics, you got your tests and your D-balls, those kind of guys.
Yeah.
And there you can see I'm very much apple-shaped. Although it's interesting because we had this debate, right?
Yeah.
Where you store the body fat, like belly fat, it's pretty well agreed is a bad thing.
Not great.
But I have pretty minimal abdominal fat, but a lot of lower back fat.
Yeah. His abs are shredded he always has six pack abs for those asking. You wouldn't know it because you're an influencer, doesn't post it.
But I'm not good at being an ab influencer.
Yeah. I think that, if you look at your 16% Android body fat, you tend to store it mostly in your back. And a DEXA scan is taking those types of cross sections. So in that area of your torso, you do carry fat. You just don't carry it on the front, which I think is a sign of good insulin sensitivity. And 11% on a DEXA, for people who are comparing against like in-bodies or what influencers say, if your body fat percentage on DEXA is a 13%, it's probably a 7 to 8% on in-body or most bioimpedance tests.
Yeah, I would say on average, the bioimpedance understates the body fat, but some people are actually pretty close, and then some people it's actually overestimating. It's just there's so many different devices out mm-hmm. there, and everyone's body water distribution will be a little bit different.
Yeah, so at the end of the day, the biggest thing for cardiovascular risk is likely abdominal body fat.
So I can have our friend Dr. Carson Williams take that lower back fat I have and put it back on my legs to lower.
I thought you were going to say like a little bit in the pec and upper chest here. Yeah. Some fat transfer.
No, just relocating from the torso to the legs so I can be healthier.
Yeah. Or a little bit more in the cheeks.
Yeah.
Yeah.
For my sleeper build.
Yeah. Balance out the lips. Get the real med spa look. Anyways, I think that's really about it. Just great T score. Great bone mineral content, 7 pounds.
And I should say no strontium was harmed in the making of these bones.
Yeah, I cannot say the same for my DEXA scan. My bones, are less natural, less calcium-based than yours. Yeah, if people have questions or comments or have other thoughts about our DEXA scans and protocols, they can let us know in the comments, but hopefully people are interested in just kind of seeing our journeys through injury, through different styles of training, and can take away that you can really do, again, quite a few different movement pastimes to last a lifetime and have good results for body composition and health.
Yeah, and shout out to Colton for the thumbnail for this podcast. If he doesn't want to be mentioned, we can redact that. Like, seems to be common to redact things nowadays. But as always, thank you for your time. Thank you for watching, and may God bless you with health and happiness.
If you're a podcast host, listen up, this one's for you. My name is Allie Jackson. I'm the host of Finding Mr. Height, a dating and relationship podcast that I've been doing for 4 years now, sharing my positive and practical approach to dating that's built on my own life experience. And I wanted to share another experience that I've had, my secret behind monetizing my show. It's called Red Circle. And I was just telling my colleague about how much I love their platform. With Red Circle, not only am I getting a seamless hosting experience, but I also love the support I receive in ad sales. It's not just typical ad sales either. It's targeted opportunities based on my show and my life. And the platform is super simple. You just set your preferences and Red Circle matches you with sponsors that align with your show. You can vet every opportunity and their platform gives you great analytics. More recently too, my Red Circle team has brought me opportunities outside of my podcast on social media to really augment the podcast partnerships, bring them full circle. I just can't recommend them enough. If you want to give it a try, go to redcircle.com to get your free trial. That's redcircle.com for a free trial. If you're a podcast host, listen up, this one's for you. My name is Allie Jackson. I'm the host of Finding Mr. Height, a dating and relationship podcast that I've been doing for 4 years now, sharing my positive and practical approach to dating that's built on my own life experience. And I wanted to share another experience that I've had, my secret behind monetizing my show. It's called Red Circle. And I was just telling my colleague about how much I love their platform. With Red Circle, not only am I getting a seamless hosting experience, but I also love the support I receive in ad sales. It's not just typical ad sales either. It's targeted opportunities based on my show and my life. And the platform is super simple. You just set your preferences and Red Circle matches you with sponsors that align with your show. You can vet every opportunity and their platform gives you great analytics. More recently too, my Red Circle team has brought me opportunities outside of my podcast on social media to really augment the podcast partnerships, bring them full circle. I just can't recommend them enough. If you want to give it a try, go to redcircle.com to get your free trial. That's redcircle.com for a free trial.